Heavenly Father, we lift up your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. You would fill this place, fill our hearts and minds. Lord, we pray to see clearly our Lord and Savior, this salvation, Jesus Christ. But also, Lord, challenge us. Challenge us in our faith. Challenge us in our ministries. Challenge us in our obedience, Lord. I pray that you would challenge us in our commitment to this body, one to another. Lord, as we take a look at these amazing servants that you have put before us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. I was shanghaied. Put that there. You know, I have a lot of conversations with people about where they fit in. And maybe the Lord is tugging on your heart this morning about where exactly you fit in the body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel of Oakland County. I can't tell you, but the Holy Spirit will certainly direct you, as we see so often. We saw even this morning. If you have a heart to serve, seek Him and let the Holy Spirit lead you. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And in so doing, He subjected Himself to, to every aspect of the law, just like you and just like me, with one glaring exception. Jesus was able to keep the law perfectly where you and I are condemned by it. It's a reminder that we are born into sin, and although Jesus was not born into sin, He subjected Himself to the law, therefore identifying Himself with us. Amazing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And so here we're told, "And when 8 days were completed for circumcision of the child, His name was called Jesus, the name given to, by the angel before He was conceived in the womb." And we're going to see a number of times the law is pointed to here and is brought up. Joseph and Mary were certainly a godly couple, and they understood the scriptures, as we are going to see. And they brought their firstborn son to the temple according to the law of Moses, which says in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised." And so, according to the that which was laid down in Leviticus, Mary and Joseph faithfully bring their son to have him circumcised. And they called his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Jehoshua, or Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. It was the name of two eminent types of Christ in the Old Testament. We know first was Joshua, who succeeded Moses as he was given command over the children of Israel. And he led the children of Israel into Canaan, and together they conquered the land. There was also Joshua, the high priest, who was high priest during the return of the children of Israel back to Jerusalem after their being led away into captivity. And This Joshua, we're told, was given a crown, was to be a priest on his throne, and it was prefiguring Christ, our great high priest. In Zechariah chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, we are told, "Take the silver and gold, make an elaborate crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Then speak to him, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both.'" And so they bring Jesus, and on the eighth day, as he's circumcised, as tradition tells, they gave him the name that was told them by the angel, according to that which had come to them. And it says, verse 22, "Now when the days of a purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." This is another presentation. This was also according to the law, and so the days of her purification actually literally means or says the days of their purification. You see, there was a purification both of the child and of the woman because it dealt with blood. In Leviticus chapter 12, verses 4 through 5, it says, She shall. Sell seashells by the seashore. Tongue is not working. "She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. So there were 40 days, and this is speaking of 40 days after the birth. So there was the presentation and circumcision of the male child at 8 days, but then there was also another purification that they had to observe, and it was 40 for a male child and 80 for a female child. Why? Nobody knows for sure. There are some speculations that it gives the mother and the female baby, the female child, more time to bond. They've thrown different suggestions out there, but I'm not 100% sure. I know this. My mom told me girls have cooties, and that may be the reason why there needed to be more time. I don't know. That's not biblical, and I'm not standing on it. But I believe my mom. So, regardless, the days of their purification were completed. And so, in 40 days, at this very time, we see that the child was presented to the Lord. "As it is written," verse 23, "in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And, verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So again, we see this adherence and devotion and obedience to the law on behalf of Mary and Joseph. But there was also, along with the dedication or the presentation at the time of the end of the purification, there was also an offering that was to be made. There is no mention of baptism here. And again, we, and many of you know, we dedicate our children unto the Lord. We see no evidence that children are to be baptized. That is a choice that is made as they make that confirmation that they are going to follow Jesus Christ, just as many of us have. So we dedicate our children to the Lord. It's that presentation of them to God and to the service of God. But there was an offering that was to be made, and it was to be a bird or a lamb for those who could afford it. But those who could not afford a lamb, the law made a provision for two doves or two pigeons, as Mary and Joseph observed here. They were not of great wealth. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 goes on to tell us, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and one as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. And I want to notice us to notice this. We see Jesus is presented or dedicated to the Lord according to the law of the firstborn son. Secondly, a sacrifice is made according to the law. First is a burnt offering, and the burnt offering was given as an acknowledgement of the thankfulness for God's mercies. The second, which is the sin offering, was acknowledging with shame one's sin against God, and it was offered on their behalf. And here we see Jesus fulfilling the law from infancy as he was without sin. The sacrifice was unnecessary on his behalf, yet he subjected himself to it. Identifying himself with you and with me, identifying himself with sinners. And he was set apart as holy unto the Lord as he was presented that morning. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 6, we are told that the value of one who is consecrated to the Lord from 1 month up to 5 years, that offering was to be 5 shekels. Now the cost of two turtle doves, it may have been 10 shekels. I don't know. But that the only begotten Son of God left the glory of heaven, was born of a virgin, submitted himself in obedience to the law in order to fulfill it, also faced every temptation before us, yet he was without sin, and by that became our salvation, the Savior for the world. That is priceless. And so we have this example of Christ submitting himself to the ordinances of man. Now, verse 25, it says, and behold, there is something that we need to take very close look at here. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon, this name is Shimon. It means hearing. It is from the root Shema. It means, one, to hear intelligently. If you're a note taker, you may want to take this down. It gives us some insight into who this man was and why he has such a great report in the scriptures. It is, secondly, to hear attentively. Thirdly, it means to hear carefully. Fourthly, to hear certainly. The word bearing I put to kind of give some understanding to the depth of this, to hear certainly bearing consideration, contentment, and declaration. Fifthly, it is to hear diligently. And that bears discernment or causing to hear or hearken. Sixth, to hear indeed means to listen, bearing obedience and perception. It's to proclaim, publish, regard, report, show forth, or make a sound. There is an action and a reaction that comes from this hearing, the depth to hear indeed. Often with children, it is important to ask them to repeat back to you what you have just told them, isn't it, parents? And we get some pretty interesting things that when they, you know, did you hear what I said? Uh-huh. Well, why don't you repeat it back to me? Who knows where their mind was half the time? But this shows a depth of hearing that goes just beyond, you know, the nodding of the head. And seventh, it means to hear surely, bearing understanding. Interestingly, it also speaks of witness, the whosoever will hear. And so there is this action that comes from the hearing, and we're going to see it very practically displayed through this man Simeon, Shimon, which means hearing or hearing one. And this man Simeon truly heard from the Lord, as evidenced by his own testimony, the Lord's testimony of Simeon and Simeon's testimony of the Lord. There's an interesting note about this man Simeon. According to Jewish history, he was the son of Hillel, who founded a college and was also the head of the Sanhedrin. So Simeon was well learned in the scripture. In fact, history says that he replaced his father as the president of that college and also the leader of the Sanhedrin. And they also believe that he was the first who was given the name Rabban, which was given only to doctors of the highest level in that society, and that only seven of the leaders after him were ever given that title of Rabban. So he was a very important man within the religious hierarchy in Jerusalem at the time. But the Jews also say that he was endowed with a prophetical spirit, but was at some point shunned by the authorities because he did not hold the common belief concerning the temporal kingdom of the Messiah. Very interesting. You see, he was given insight into this Messiah, certainly insight into Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 and many of those scriptures that are messianic scriptures that they're still blinded to today. But we're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this Simeon was hoping for the prophesied Messiah, the Savior of the world, and evidently he was hearing the word of God very clearly in his own life. And because of that, what an amazing witness this man is, what an amazing example he is for you and for me this morning. And so let's make sure that as we take a look at this man and his life and what the Lord has to say about him, that we are hearing on every level that we can possibly hear. This man, it says, as we look at the Lord's characterization of him, this man was just, it says. The word is dikaios, it means equitable, innocent, holy, and righteous. This spoke of Simeon's interaction with his fellow man, how he treated others and was seen by others. The second point is, it says this man was devout. And that is eulabes, and it means circumspect, taking well, and it speaks of devotion. So this man was just, and he was, speaking of holiness and righteousness, and he was also devout. He was devoted to God. The Ten Commandments, interestingly, are broken up into two sections. First, commandments 1 through 4 speak of our responsibility or our devotion to God, our relationship with God. And so we have, there shall be no other gods before him. We're not to carve any images or any likenesses of animals. We're not to make dumb idols to set on our, to hang on our wall or set on our shelves or anything. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. And we're to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, is what the first four commandments say. And those speak of our devotion to God. And concerning this Simeon, it says that he was devout when it came to those commandments. Now, commandments 5 through 10 address our relationship with mankind. Thou art honor your mother and father. And as we go through these things, certainly we want these to be very important in our homes and in our own lives. But think about society today, really the world today, and where they may stand on many of these commandments. You shall not murder. Aurora, Colorado, we just had some more. Every day, it seems, in Detroit, we see people being killed. We know that the ticker continues to tick as women have abortions because of tolerance and the church is unwilling to speak out anymore. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Yeah, that one. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet. And in light of the law, all have sinned, we're told, and fall short of the glory of God. And in light of God's commandments, listen, I think society is grading an F in every category today. And concerning the commandments of God, the Lord considers Simeon just and devout. There's a couple people in Scripture. I mean, I think of Barnabas, who was an encourager of the brethren. Something, you know, these men have a story that God tells us about them. It might be one word, it might be a number of words. I wonder if there's going to be anything for me. You know, what would God say in... Scripture's already written. I'm just kind of throwing it out there as a thought. What would Scripture say about you and your walk of faith and your walk with before God? What kind of testimony would God give of you? So Simeon was just and Simeon was devout. But we also see this man was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The paraklesis, which is consolation, it means comfort. And they could not keep the law. They knew that even when the Jerusalem council got together and finally said, look, why would we keep them under a yoke that even our fathers couldn't bear? And understanding the grace of God that came through Jesus Christ. But they could not keep the law. They needed consolation. Society was a wreck at the time Christ came into the world. They needed comfort. You see, Simeon was looking for comfort and consolation from what the world had to offer. We're told in John chapter 14, verse 26 by Jesus, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And then in chapter 15, verse 26, he says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And that's how he'll be able to bring to remembrance all the things that Jesus said to you. And if you're in Christ today, you have his Holy Spirit inside of you. But this word for comforter that Jesus, or helper, is parakletos, consoler. It is the same idea that we're seeing as this man was looking for the consolation of Israel, the one that would console. You see, in our relationship with God, we fall woefully short of his expectations. And that's not to bum you out. You see, our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. We could not make it on our own under the law. Read Romans. Carefully and slowly, because it can be confusing. But if you read it, it explains it very clearly. And what has the righteousness of man produced for the world today? You know, I need consolation this morning. Anybody else need some comfort? Some consoling? Laws we are either unwilling to enforce or unable to enforce because unrighteousness is outrunning the long arm of the law. Anybody else grow up learning that you can't outrun Motorola? You can today. Because there's just so much unrighteousness in the world today that people, they think they're getting away with it according to man's laws and according to what man has constructed. But they're not getting away with it before God. You see, my educated guess that if we were to see how the world was tracking concerning do not commit adultery, it's out of control. Thou shalt not steal, it's out of control. I mean, they're pulling ATMs out of CBSs and then running people over afterwards. Honor your father and mother. Don't disobey your mom and dad, as we see teenagers running around at all hours of the night, unsupervised, out of control. Covetousness, out of control. Abortions and murders are out of control, Christian. False witness and lying, out of control. This world needs the consolation of Israel. The world needs Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In John 14, 27, he goes on to say, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I think we need a little comforting and a little consolation this morning. And as they try and figure out whether we should carry guns or not carry guns, and they're going to legislate something because that's the patch that mankind, it's the only way they can figure out how to patch that up. Jesus still says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so this man was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Fourthly, and this man had the Holy Spirit upon him. He was led by the Holy Spirit. You see, and what we see here as we go on, verse 26, we're told, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And I love this picture as we go through it. He was, as he was being led by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit was upon him, he was given revelation. Given revelation in his life. The Lord was speaking to him through his word. He believed that the Messiah would come. In fact, as he spent time with the Lord, as the Spirit was with him, he found out that God would promise him that he would not leave, he would not die until he saw this hope that he had been waiting for. And so it gave him revelation. It also gave him inspiration. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. It's really, I hope you're inspired to come this morning, not because of me, but an opportunity to praise the Lord and to hear from His Word. That should inspire you to be in fellowship with one another, to lift one another up in praise, to help each other. I mean, really, to love one another. It should be inspiring. And this man was inspired to go to the temple. And interestingly, so he went, came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, it was at just the right time, as Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus to be presented, the Holy Spirit was leading Simeon to the temple. Any of you ever had a divine appointment and you knew it was a divine appointment? Don't you want more divine appointments in your life? We miss out when we're not on the divine appointment, when we're not walking in the Holy Spirit of God, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, whether it's to come to fellowship or to go and see a brother or a sister in the hospital or sick at home, take a meal, maybe just to come here and clean, to serve here at the fellowship, whatever it might be, as the Lord is leading. And this man was led by the Holy Spirit of God, and he has this divine appointment as the Spirit is inspiring him to go to the temple, because it's the same time that Mary and Joseph were bringing this consolation of Israel that he had hoped for. It might be that you're here by divine appointment this morning, and you don't even know it. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to speak through the Word of God into your heart. Maybe this is what you've been looking for this morning. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Thirdly, it gave him illumination. He saw the light, and that thing which Paul said was the mystery, he is speaking of it here. He was given special insight into who this little child was. He was going to be a light even unto the Gentiles. That would have been unheard of. No wonder he may have been kicked out of the Sanhedrin and the leadership there. He was saying, before they even had the discussion years later, that grace was going to be for the Gentiles, that grace was going to be for all peoples. And that it was this little child, Jesus, that he was holding in his arms. In verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They marveled at those things that were spoken of him. You see, in so doing, he was a blessing to others. So he was just, he was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He walked in the Holy Spirit and was led by the Holy Spirit, and in so doing, he was a blessing to others. Simeon blessed Joseph and Mary by the words that he spoke. My words are not always a blessing for others. James, the brother of Jesus, knew this all too well as he would grow up. He would grow up with the Son of God. Probably made fun of him a little. Had some things to say about the neighbors and mom and dad or the other brothers. Talked about Jesus and how weird he was and what a nerd he was. And Mr. Goody Two Shoes. And probably had some choice words to say about God at times. Because eventually James would say, and talk about how with our mouths we bless our God and Father and we curse man who is made in the similitude of God. Sounds like a man that grew up with God in the flesh, doesn't it? But this man, Simeon, blessed others. It was evident in his life, that hope. He blessed God, and he blessed Joseph and Mary. And we're told, verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, also that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We're not going to get to Anna this morning. We're told, and we're told that it would be for the fall and the rise of many. Who will fall? Isaiah 2:17 said, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything, proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Pride and arrogance are going to be brought low. But James tells us in chapter 4, verse 10, because I think he learned it practically, we're told, humble thyself. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. What will fall? The proud and the arrogant. Who will fall? The proud and the arrogant. Those that think they can do it on their own in their own righteousness, of their own works. But who will be lifted up? Those who humble themselves and submit themselves to Jesus Christ. And it said he'd be for a sign. And that word for sign, interestingly, is a target to be shot at. And for some, he's a target to be shot at. They've been trying to shoot him down for years, haven't they? But for others, your heart may be yearning for that target. Maybe that's what you've been looking for all your life, is this sign, the Son of Man, the Son of God, coming down from heaven to earth, that you may have a hope, a consolation, if you're seeking comfort this morning from the world and what's going on with the world. You see, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is this constellation and this hope that Simeon had. Are you hearing him very clearly this morning as he's speaking to you? We're going to have communion together as the guys get that together. And do we have music as they come up and play? Or is they playing? Are we playing? Oh, as Tony and Gina come up and play for us. God bless you. And as we're preparing our hearts to take communion, is the Lord speaking to you very directly, calling you to a deeper devotion to him? Maybe a deeper commitment to your family, your spouse, maybe this fellowship. There's a lot of needs for ministry here still. In the nursery, teaching kids, cleaning. You want to enjoy something? Come and clean. The group that comes and cleans is unbelievable. You're not going to get any accolades though. But maybe the Lord is calling you to a deeper devotion to him, a deeper commitment to him. We're going to take a look at Anna next week, and you can read ahead. That woman was wholly given over to the Lord in fasting and prayer, and she was a prophetess. I'm going to give it up before probably next week anyways and get a little bit into it. But listen, The church doesn't need prophets, thus saith the Lord today. Too much of that wackiness going on all over the place. The Lord already said it. And if you look at the example of Anna, what the church needs today are prophets that will speak about Jesus Christ and tell others. That's it. Because that's really the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So as we prepare our hearts as to go to the communion table, let's spend this time and let's listen intently. Look, if you haven't heard from the Lord, seek Him right now and ask Him what He would have you do, whether it be serving here or what needs to change in your own life. He'll let you know. But let's hear intently, intelligently, surely. Maybe I should go over those one more time. Maybe I need to hear them again. Certainly. Diligently. Carefully. Tony. Luke tells us that when the hour had come, he sat down and with the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And if there's anybody here this morning who has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who do not have that hope of the consolation of Israel this morning, but the Spirit is speaking to you I want you to know that Jesus has, with fervent desire, desired to have this Passover supper with you, but he wants you to believe in him. And if that's you, and you want to pray for that hope this morning, I want you to raise your hand because we want to pray with you this morning. Fred, see your hand? It's anybody. Has the Lord put it on your heart? Do you know that you know that you know that he lives in you? Let's bow our heads just for a moment and just consider all that Christ has done. And it might be just like Fred. He just wants to know that he's in that place where the Lord would have him right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that are here that you would just search their hearts. Lord, that Fred would have that surety this morning. Again, how much you love him. Lord, as he opens his heart to you, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit into him. Lord, that he would have that confidence that can only come through the guarantee of your Holy Spirit this morning. And I pray that for each one of your children here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us to be more devoted to you. And Lord, more loving to one another. And Lord, as you said with fervent desire, you desired to eat the Passover with your disciples, that we understand just how much you desire to have that time of communion with us this morning. And Lord, you said, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Lord, we hold this cracker and we understand with what great desire, Lord, you look upon us, and with what great desire you await that day that we'll be with you in heaven. And we acknowledge, Lord, it came with great suffering, with absolute and ultimate obedience unto the Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent this consolation, that we could have this comfort and this consolation this morning. And as we eat this bread, we do it in remembrance of the life that you gave for us. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would search our hearts. As the psalmist said, see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us into the way of everlasting. Heavenly Father, forgive us our sins. And if we hold anything against a brother or a sister here or anywhere else, Heavenly Father, help us to lay those things down and leave them at the foot of the cross this morning. As we consider the blood that you shed on that cross at Calvary that day, that we might be forgiven, washed, cleansed. Even as you submitted yourself to the law that day, you didn't need to, but you did it to identify with us. And so we ask, Lord, that you would continue to wash and to cleanse us. Lord, those sins that are like scarlet in our lives, we pray that you'd make them white as snow. Give us strength to overcome them. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here in bondage this morning to the world, to pornography, to drugs, alcohol, I pray that you would break the chains right now. Depression, I pray that you would give them joy inexpressible right now. Holy Spirit, move amongst your people. I pray that if anybody is struggling in their marriage, Lord, I pray that they would release and be relieved of those things that they're holding on to, that their eyes and their heart would be on you, and that there would just be a new love that floods on the hearts and minds for their spouse right now, Lord. And as we drink, Lord, we remember the blood that was shed, that precious blood. And we thank you and praise you for all that you've done as we drink now together. We do these things in remembrance of you. I pray, Lord, that you would move, that people would hear from you again this morning, maybe that they haven't heard from you. I pray that if anybody's lost their way, that they would have clear vision and direction this morning. Lord, I pray that they would know they're here by divine appointment because you desired to speak to them, to pour out your love upon them. And I pray that this work, you just continue to work in our hearts and our minds. Lord, bring back to remembrance because, Lord, we've listened intelligently and surely and expectantly, Lord, to hear from you. Those blessings would continue to pour out upon your children this morning and throughout this day. And everybody we come in contact with, Lord, as that example of Simeon and of Anna, Lord, they blessed others because they spoke of you. We want to speak of you in our lives and from our mouths, Lord. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Would you please stand as we worship him?